हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 24, Further Traits of Sri Krishna, Verse 21, 254, page 16. An example. Seeing the pain caused by Indra's reign in Vraja, Krishna desired to destroy Swarga. But then, considering Indra and the Devatas to be inferior, a wave of compassion rose within him. Seeing no one equal to himself as a suitable object of anger, he who is firm in truth then lifted Govardhan with the desire of giving bliss to his friends. Srila Prabhupada, decorated. It is said that a person is great if he is decorated with the qualities of being very merciful towards the unfortunate, very powerful, superior, chivalrous, enthusiastic, expert, and truthful. These decorations are manifest in the character of Krishna during his Govardhan Leela. At that time, the whole tract of land in Vrindavan was being disturbed by the rain sent by Indra, as described elsewhere. At first, Krishna thought, "Let me retaliate against this vengeance of Indra by destroying his heavenly planet." But later on, when he thought of the insignificance of the King of Heaven, Krishna changed his mind and felt merciful towards Indra. No one is able to tolerate the wrath of Krishna. So instead of retaliating against Indra, he simply showed his compassion for his friends in Vrindavan by lifting the whole of Govardhan Hill to protect them. Jiva Goswami, the objection may arise that at least Krishna should punish the leader causing the disaster in Vraja. To answer this, it is said that he did not see anyone equal to himself, and thus he gave up his anger. Right? Because where is he going to place that anger? Because there's no one as great as him, so it won't be reciprocal like that. That's why you see Jaya Vijaya, where they're thinking, well, this, if we have this quality, it must be there in Krishna, so then we would like to do service by this. So then you have to have Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. They're the biggest. They still don't count, but at least it's big enough to, you know, that we'll appreciate. Right? So he tastes that aspect of that anger and vengeance, but why? Because he's disturbing the devotees. Then it's just a matter of compassion for the devotees. So that compassion for the devotees, then it's a matter of dealing in such a way as so that the devotees get taken care of very nicely. Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's more. There's more taste in that. Because the other one, unless you have an equal, how do you have that kind of vengeance and things like that? You know, it's just like you saw with Sridhar. Then he's saying, okay, this elephant, of Krishna, then waving his trunk and trumpeting, and the clouds are being dispersed. And now he's coming forth on this battlefield, you know, against Sri Dharma, and they'll wrestle and stuff like this. So then you see you're dealing with an equal, because it's the mood and then it's directed there. But this thing where he's behaving incorrectly and then you're give this vengeance, where's the equality? So there won't be any taste in it. You know what I'm saying? He just breathes in. All the universes disappear. So what satisfaction will you get by getting rid of one in one of the unlimited universes, you know, the one planet that Indra's sitting on? like that. So that doesn't, it doesn't have that aspect. So then the compassion for the devotees, that's much more. That's much greater.
Also, it seems he didn't consider this element of showing example by punishing somebody very important.
No, because the problem is with the showing example, it doesn't work. The point is it already, the example would be part of anyway a correction. You know, because what's the example here? Now, how Krishna, he lifted Govardhan Hill, he defeated Indra just by using an umbrella, right? You have the king of heaven. You defeated him by using an umbrella. So it's already pointed out, no one can defeat Krishna. So you don't have to, you know, said the element of make an example, that's for our satisfaction. Like that. It just means we want that, not that it's necessary. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point. Is that why it's there? Because you're dealing with the living entity, a natural, one of the inherent qualities of the jiva is that of you know, righteousness or justice. But that means it's righteous because it's in context of Krishna. So now when you come to the material world, this righteousness becomes, it becomes distorted. So it's applied, the same point is that you have what's right and wrong, but what's right, what's good for me, what's wrong, what's not good for me. Right? So that's why you see some people saying, yes, we want justice and we want it like this. And other people say, no, that's not good, it should be like this. Right? Because for the one person, that justice is good for them. By their, what's good, it means in the context of what's good for them, that kind of retribution would match. But for another person who has a different ideal of what is nice, then it doesn't match. So that's the difficulty, is that you're going to get this difference. You're going to get this difference. Because it's not about Krishna, it's about themselves. So that's why in the spiritual world there's only one concept of justice. You know, it's about Krishna. But in the material world, then you get so many varieties. So that's why then the Dharma Shastras will say what is just and what's not. Because otherwise, the speculation will go on eternally. And so then, but the Dharma Shastras, it's very clever in that it's getting, and you can see, and it's based on what profits you'll get, what other things you'll get from it. Right? You do good work, you get good results. You do bad work, you get bad results. So people appreciate that. So good work means, you know, the fruit of results that you can use for artha and kama. Right? And so then, and, or for liberation. Right? So all the social prestige, the economy, all these things can be engaged. And so the living entities will make that endeavor. But unfortunately, it doesn't do anything for the soul itself, soul proper, because actual justice means it's in context of Krishna. So then the only thing that's actually of justice is somebody being engaged in Krishna's service. That's real justice. That's real righteousness, you know, real charity, real proper activity, real knowledge, you know, all these things. That's what it's mentioning. So one has to have that faith, because as long as one thinks that material retribution has a value, then to that degree you're not God conscious. Because the point is it's about Krishna, right? So if we look at it very carefully, then we'll see that all the different principles that are there, they're in context, means pious activities, that's in the context of what's useful in Krishna's service. Like, you know, for a human being to get up early in the morning, that's what they should do. It's not an option. If you want to be human, you get up in the Brahma Muhurta. If you don't want to be human, you get up whenever you like. Right? It means there's animals that only wake up at night, you know, so I mean it's a wide range of, you know, what's happening. So you get up in the Brahma Muhurta. You know, you're going to take a bath, you brush your teeth, take a bath, you're going to dress, you're going to do some kind of worship. And this is just all human beings. It doesn't matter what your deity is. Everybody's going to do this, right? They're going to cook, they're going to make offerings, they're going to regulate their life. So all these things are then considered pious. You collect things, you give a charity. You know, you have this element of austerity. You perform your duties, right? Because you look at it. Okay, if I do my duty, okay, I have this capacity. I do my duty, so society benefits. But now I'll benefit by others doing their duty. You know, that's something different than mine, right? You know, the Brahmin is teaching, but someone has to manage the country, so the Kshatriya does that. Same time, you need money. The Vaishya is doing that, and you need, you know, labor to get everything accomplished, and that then the Shudras are doing that. So everyone does their duty, everyone benefits. So that's why people will do it. Right? And if they don't see that acting as a Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is actually beneficial, they won't. As in the modern context. Right? So it all depends upon how we're, that means that what kind of material desire we have, that's why we follow the particular piety, the Karmakanda, the Jnanakanda apostle like this. But if we look at it even more carefully, that all those activities, the pious activity, the principle of them, and most of the detail, is actually what is used by the devotees in Krishna consciousness. Devotees get up in the morning, then they take their bath, they go and worship Krishna, they chant, they serve Krishna all day, they perform their particular duties for which they have the capacity to do the best work for Krishna. It's not a matter of prestige. It means, who should do the job? I mean, who's the best at it? You know, it's just like I remember many times there'd be going to some program and there'd be some, you know, big personality there. And so then they would, let's say, like they take them on a tour or something or do something with them. So all the leaders would want to be there. Right? You know, whoever's the managers and leaders and whoever is this, they'd all want to be there with that personality. And they'd go around and they'd talk and point out this and that. You know, so in that way it's really good. You know, I mean, that's what they should be doing. And all the, you know, brahmacharis and others who are not in that position, then they're setting up for breakfast. You know, cooking, arranging, getting everything arranged and everything like this. Then, when they come back and it's time for breakfast, then they'll come in, the senior person will sit down, and then, because there's, you know, a few people there, then there's always those senior men want to serve the most senior person. You know? So it's not that they're wanting to serve prasad to the devotees. It's they want the benefit of, you know, the interaction with the senior person. Sometimes someone's taking a picture. Yeah, literally. Yeah. Good point. But the problem comes down is that if they don't know how to serve prasad, what is the benefit? Wouldn't it be better to have someone who knows how to serve? But the problem is that might be just be a brahmachari that no one even knows his name, but he's good at it. You know? And they're only going to serve him because they'll take out, they'll get the thing, then they'll click this, then they'll give it to the next person. You know, now you do everybody else. Yes. And then they'll get this, hey, give that, you know, like this. They're trying to organize the whole thing, but it doesn't work for the senior person. It doesn't work for anybody else. Because then it's kind of like he's controlling it and the other person can't actually control the service for the other. And so it's just an absolute total mess. Because you should be doing what you're good at. So now they're leaders, they know how to do, they know what's going on, then they just sit down with the seniors and let the others who know how to serve do that. Does that make sense? You know, and then if they don't know and the leadership knows, then they'll get up and show them how to do it. You know, then it gets established. But the point is, you know, it's like driving the car. Who should drive the car? Who's best at driving the car? Not the one who wants to drive the car because, you know, it's prestigious or it's... Does that make sense? So that's the thing is, it's not by that. Though in the modern kind of context, you know, that's considered quite okay. Just you feel like it and that's enough. That's your qualification. So the point is, in the Vedic, you can feel like it, but you should also have the ability. Right? So you have to have the nature and you have to have the ability. It can't just be a feeling. Does that make sense? So, therefore, if everybody's doing their duties, the whole thing works. But for the devotee, he's just doing what is his ability for Krishna, because he can't do something else. Does that make sense? If you're a manager, then you manage for Krishna. If you're not a manager, you don't manage for Krishna because it won't be management. Mm-hmm. And non-management for Krishna? Oh, what's your service? Oh, I do non-management for Krishna. That, it doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be someone who has that ability. So the Vedas, they give that. That's what the scriptures give. That's why that's what's piety. So on the material platform, it's called piety. On the spiritual platform, it's called devotional service. That's why for the devotees, Daiva Varnashram simply means whatever is your conditioning, you use that for Krishna. It's not a matter of prestige, this, that, because it means if Krishna applying his anger, there's no equal, then us applying our prestige, that's going to match. Right? I'm so special that my prestige that I'm doing this is so special. You know, how does that match with Krishna? Right? So that aspect of justice, then we see is it has to be is what's pleasing to Krishna. Because what's pleasing to Krishna is people take up Krishna consciousness. It's not that he requires a punishment. Punishment is only valuable if you do not see why you should be involved in Krishna consciousness, and then the punishment may make you more open to the idea. You understand? But if you're already open, what does the punishment do? You know, so that it's a very important thing. So that's why devotees, they don't take prayaschitta very seriously. That's why sixth canto is there. It's explaining this point. But if we still take it seriously, that means then that's our particular anartha. That's our attachment. You know, because we think that you can make the material world good, and therefore we should, you know, make everything proper so the material world goes well. But if it's Krishna's service, it's just you take up the service. Now, if we see is that the person is only feigning that and still does that, then there may be you make adjustments. But if it actually gets effect, what's the point? And if you say, oh, the common devotees won't understand that, that's the point. They're common devotees. They need to be educated. That's why you have senior devotees. So if the senior devotees, then they simply say, oh, we can't do that because no one will understand. Whose fault is that? The common devotee, then they need to be trained. So if they're not trained, whose fault is that? You know, it's the leadership. What I mean, you can always say is that, okay, leadership's not training. Then the general devotee wants to be trained and no one's doing it. He can go to another place where they are training. So then both are at fault. But the one who's leading at fault will be the leadership. So why is it like that? You know, because it didn't happen overnight. So that means you don't train for years and, you know, decades, then you end up with that. Yes. And the fun part about Krishna consciousness, you just start, and then within a very short time, it's correct. Because Krishna consciousness is the superior quality. So you can go on using, we'll set an example, but examples always backfire. Because if it's not according to Manu, then you'll get a reaction for improper punishment. Because you say, oh, the people want this, so that's the best thing, you will get a reaction. Because if Manu doesn't say that's what you're supposed to do, then it won't work. It's science. The material energy is Krishna's energy. It has laws. You don't follow the laws, it does not work. Even in the modern, they say, oh, it works, but yeah, it doesn't. How's the weather going these days? Right? And so, you know, since the Industrial Revolution, then they've thought, oh, we can do whatever we want. We make the industries, we pollute, we do whatever we want, we have all this stuff, throw the stuff in the river, smoke in the skies. It doesn't matter. As long as it makes money, we're good, because making money is king. And so how is that working out? 200 years later, how is it going? Right? You know, from the sun never set on the British Empire, it never rises. You know, it's like, I used to joke with one devotee in London about the sun only comes out for 15 minutes in a day. And as we were talking about that, the sun came out, right? You know, and literally 15 minutes, and then went behind a cloud again. So that's so fun. You know, people say that before the Industrial Revolution, that, you know, places like Manchester and all these places where they were nice places. You know, it was a very that's why they went there. It was a nice place. They didn't go there because it had, if the weather that it had now was there, thousands of years ago, would the, you know, Angles and Saxons and Danes gone over there? You know, who wants that kind of weather, right? So it was better. So that's the whole thing, is that Krishna arranges, and then we follow it. Works nice. So either you're going to follow it technically like that, have those material qualifications and all that, and who has those qualifications, or you qualify according to the devotional. So according to devotion, that's how you make your decisions and that. What's actually good for being Krishna conscious? Right? So that's Daiva Varnasha. What's good for Krishna consciousness? Varnasha means what's good for the social system. Right? So Heka says, Asuric Varnasha would be, what's good for General Bulmus is good for the USA. Right? And Daiva Varnasha is what's good for Krishna. Is that... makes sense. So, yeah, setting example. I have never seen one where it works. Where means people have gone along and applied, you know, suitable correction to devotees in the process, and that has worked. But where there's a decision, should we do this, that? No, we should set an example. You know, it's decided like that in the meeting. I've never seen one example of it go right. Not one. So that's the problem, is that it's Krishna's world. It's his laws. So you follow his laws. You want to follow the material laws, you have to be damn good at the material laws. Who knows Manu? Otherwise, you have to be good at devotional service. So you have to be a leader in one of them, or like Yudhishthira, who's both. But, you know, this is Kali Yuga, so we're happy with just the devotional. You know, material's not there, okay, we're cool. Yes?
You said that the point is not to do it, like, the point is to do what you can do the best, but at the same time Krishna said that better to do your duty, although not perfect, how we can...
No, but that means what you do best. What you do best is your duty. Because if you take guna and karma, can the attitude not be included? Like, let's say someone can manage, but if they don't have the proper attitude, are they actually a manager? No. By the Vedic system, no. By the modern, yes. So we also, since we're using the Vedic, we have to also use the definitions given by the Vedic. So guna and karma. So nowadays, if you have the karma that you can do it, it means I know the skill, then that's the qualification. But in the Vedic, if you don't have the attitude, you can't, you know, like that manager who's always uptight and freaking out about everything and anything, you know, and anything he blows up, he's not supposed to be doing that. Manager means they're quite comfortable. Right? They walk in, they see the situation, they, you know, a cool head, they get things done. That's what it is. And then you find for that person who's free, he can manipulate the material energy, gets results, find the situation where he can do that. There's a good chance if it's unconscious matter, he'll be better. Right? Does that make sense? You know, like, let's say, managing drones in an Amazon warehouse or something. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, something like that. But leadership means you have to be able to deal with people. So if you're just a man, like nowadays we profess management, but we don't need management, we need leadership. Managers are there. You know, there's so many managers. We'll say, where are they? Any real manager, if someone who's non-manager steps forward into the position, they stand way back. That's just the nature. You know, they just stand way back. But the people who are leaders, then the managers step forward. Managers want to follow. Administrators want to follow leadership. You know, So that's the difference. That's why people want to follow Yudhishthira. Duryodhana is a good manager. I mean, it's 14 years he's running the world. Do we hear anything going wrong? Nothing. No natural disasters, no this and that. He's a good manager. But he's not the person people want to follow. Yudhishthira is. That's leadership. So in other words, so who's supposed to be the emperor? Duryodhana, because he has the skill and he wants to do it? Or Yudhishthira, because he's qualified? So, if Duryodhana had just been a Kshatriya serving under Yudhishthira, you know, he would have had his own area and that, then he would have been excellent. You know, he's, you know, as far as managers goes, you wouldn't get a better one on the planet. You know, him, Jarasandha. You know, you don't get better than the Karna. You don't get better than these people. But they didn't have the right attitude. So that's why if you don't see attitude along with it, you're not actually seeing, like the Upanishad says. You know. He's seeing, but he's not seeing. So unless that's there, you don't actually see. So, Brahmins and Kshatriyas, that's by quality. Vaishyas and Shudras, that's by skill. Right? They have an attitude. You know, but the point is it's not based on having good qualities. You can be a good businessman and be a terrible person. In fact, nowadays, that's the rule. The more terrible you are, the more rich you are. It's very rare that they're not like that. Right? And to be an artist, you can be totally crazy. As long as you're good, people tolerate. You know? You have the word prima donna?
Yeah.
Right? What do you use the same word?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Right? You understand prima donna? Right? Prima donnas are terrible to work with, but they're the best. You don't get better. You're doing a big production, you know, the lead dancer has to be a prima donna. But that's the headache. So don't become a director of a company unless you can handle dealing with the craziness of a prima donna. Because they will drive you crazy. That's why there's a name. Otherwise, they would just be dancer, or best dancer, or excellent dancer, or amazing dancer. No, they're called prima donnas because they are. Everything's wrong. The floor's wrong. Things aren't. The floor's wrong. You know? The music was wrong. This was wrong. That was wrong. This guy looked at me. It's just like, it's here. So, that's the whole thing, is that, but to be a Brahmin or Kshatriya, if you don't have good qualities, it doesn't work. So this whole idea is, no, everybody should be managing everyone, this and that. Yeah, you can on the Shudra level or the business level. That's why devotees use the corporate model, because you don't have to have good qualities to be in the corporate model. You ever seen in any management meeting talking about good qualities? Right? Other than, you know, it's come up, yes, you know, I say, metal, you know, when you become angry, you become hot. So iron, when it's heated, you know, then it becomes soft, you know. So therefore, you know, if you become, you know, angry, you'll become soft. You know, you won't be a good manager. When was the last time you were angry? You know? Right? You know, so many managers have that sitting on the table. Right? So... but that's just because it's just a popular thing, because only it makes you better efficient at your skill. It doesn't make you a better person. The point is if the Brahmin or Kshatriya is not improving their character, then it's not going forward. So this whole thing, if it's just skill alone, that's a misnomer. So you have to have the attitude. Unless they have a Brahminical attitude, then if they do Brahmin stuff, it'll be a problem. Like, why fight over the artik for on the festival day? Who should do it? Is it because of devotion, or is it because everyone will see you? Because if you have devotion, why not the 8:30 off artik at night? No one's there. Or it's all the guys that can't sing, can't do anything, they're there. You know, the breakfast artik. Everyone's at breakfast. You're there alone. It's you and the deities. Most temples, noon artik, 4 o'clock, you know. So, therefore, Mangal artik, Darshan artik, you know, festival artiks. That's the one people fight over. The other ones, hey, we're looking for people. You understand? So then, that's the point. No, but I can do. Yeah, I can do the technique, but do you have the mentality? Does that make sense? So the varnashram means you have the mentality to max it. And then in daiva varnashram, it means you have the devotional attitude to do it for Krishna. Does that make sense? Then it becomes very easy. So the Vedic system is actually very simple and very straightforward. Just that we complicate it because we have other desires. But otherwise, it's very obvious. You're qualified, you do it. You're not qualified, you don't do it. Is that something? Yeah. Because if it's a matter of, okay, it's a big festival, it should be this, okay, then the person who's going to be the most inspiring for the devotee should do the arti. You know, either the one they all respect as, you know, the steady pujarian, everything like that, and, you know, he's been there for years. You know, it's like here, you have what's it, Nittai Balaram?
Yeah.
He's been doing that Mangal arti for the last, as long as I know, since the 80s. Literally, every day, you know, rain or shine, he's sick, he's not sick, he's there. You know, you put him in a Minerva cast, he won't be there. But otherwise, he's there. You know, so he does. You know, or, you know, someone who's, you know, Janani or Pankajangri, some leading devotee that people are inspired by. But just because I want to do because, I feel like it, that's not enough. You know, we would say it's not fair, but what's fair? How do we define fair? Just I feel like it, that makes it fair? What about everybody else? You know? You ever seen an abhishek where you have a few pujaris, everybody's sitting down, a few pujaris doing a nice abhishek and bathing and that? It looks very nice. For everybody there, it's a nice show. But now you have the one where everyone wants to get up and get the mercy and they don't know how to pour and they're this and pouring too slow or do so that or so many things. They're getting all the bob, but what about all the devotees watching? Is that part of the consideration? Or it's just, I feel like it. Does that make sense? So one has to see is Varnashram has already understood all this because it's coming from Krishna. And so then if we appreciate it and follow it, it works like a charm. So it's a matter of actually appreciating it, seeing it in context of Krishna, and then trying to apply it to context of Krishna. Then it has meaning. Otherwise, if we only use these arguments to get rid of it, then, you know, we've done a great job of that over the last 50 years. But accepting it, you have to, it means the acharyas say it, Krishna's given it, everything in Shastra says to follow it. We accept it. How to do? How do we do? How do we figure out? Then it works. Does that make sense? So the Shastra means it will address our political issues and personal attachments. But it's not that makes the forum, that's actually the discussion. The discussion is how to be engaged. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Good. So had a good, I say.
Good stop.
I say yes. Yeah, stop on justice and equality and okay. So equity, fraternity, and then we just need the liberty. Okay.
It seems that training is quite essential in
yes.
our spiritual life if we want to not to have too many up and down.
Yes. Means because nishta means you're stable in Krishna consciousness. So why are you stable? Because you have faith. And what do you have faith in is that bhakti is is the only, it includes all the other religious processes. There isn't anything else needed other than bhakti. So when one sees like that, then one has that faith, one is stable and steady. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then the difficulty comes down is that will be distracted. Well, what about this? What about that? Those, if you don't see that in context of Krishna, I have to maintain my family. So then the Prabhupada recommends Varnashram. There's no families in Varnashram. He's introduced Varnashram. It's only brahmacharis and sannyasis. No, it's all there. So that means it's part. And Krishna does not say, perform your duties and your occupation and that to please him, offer to him. So that's what you have to do. So if we're saying, well, what about, devotional service, but what about my, personal life and my needs? That means you're not understanding the philosophy. Just, that's what it is. It means you can try to say, well, I'm just being practical, but practical for what? What are you going to get by this practicalness? You're going to get Krishna? So since this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that we should be getting Krishna. And since Krishna's consort is the goddess of fortune, that means Krishna consciousness already includes the money. So you perform your activities connected to Krishna, then whatever you deserve, you'll get. Whatever you require, you'll get. It's what you require, not what you want. So if what you require and what you want match, then it works really well. But if what you want and what you need is quite different, then you might find it doesn't always work out. It's like you want a helicopter to Calcutta, then you may find that the bus is leaving on time. like that. Sometimes it's not quite up to our expectations. Is that good? Yes.
Right, sometimes we've seen the administrator, he's capable to deal with the general devotees quite nicely.
Right.
But with senior people, he is, like you mentioned, uptight, mistakes, offenses, and all kind of things.
Yes.
So is he actually suitable for that position?
On one level, yes. On one level, no. Means on one level, yes, means on the day-to-day things and working with the devotees, he's inspired, he's able to inspire them. Then at that level, then he's good. But then when it comes to dealing with the senior devotees, then he should take example from others who can deal on that level and try to learn from them. Because the point is if he's functioning at a neophyte level, then he'll work really great with neophytes. The only problem is then a Madhyama or Uttama will be a problem for them. Unless they respect them. If they personally respect them, it'll work fine. But if they don't know who they are or don't care, then they'll have a problem. So that won't set a good example for the other devotees, and so then they also will think you can deal whatever it is, and then what he makes the mistake is then the general devotees will apply his bad example on him. Because if he doesn't follow his authorities, they won't follow him as authority. So the whole thing will just fall apart. We have example of that in the movement.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point is that principle of respective authority, that's a principle across the board. And if you don't apply it, you break it down to any one point, it breaks down in everything. It doesn't break down in Krishna. But it'll break down in our process of getting to Krishna. Because if you don't respect the gurus, then you won't respect any leadership. It's not like, we're so exact and so, in our logic and presentation that we've separated off the gurus and left the managers. And so they'll respect them. And the sannyasis then for class, but not for other things. But the point is then that's not how it's working. So they have to learn. So if there's someone else who's more qualified, they can come in and help them. But if they're good on that general level, why not just mature in Krishna consciousness and be able to do that? Because it's just a lack of Krishna consciousness. Because as you're saying, they're able to do the regular thing. They have a problem with authority. In other words, they have a problem with authority above them, but they don't mind being in authority. And they know how to do it. So for their level, they'll work fine. But if they rise up too far, then they'll have problem. Right? But we're discussing before is someone, management itself bothers them. It's a trouble for them. It gives mental anxiety. So then they either have to find a very specific area or a smaller area. Mm-hmm. If they have managerial ability. If not, then you have to find out why are they managing. It's just because that's what they are comfortable with, or they're managing because they don't want anybody else to be in charge of them.
Or there's nobody better than them anyway.
Then that's what you do. You have to do your best. The point is you do the best. If someone else is better, let them do it. Mm-hmm. But if that person's the best at the time, then he's the person for the job. And hopefully then as it goes, time goes, then it'll mature and either they'll mature and be able to step up, or someone else will come along who will be able to work with them and engage them also. Because if you're going to do big things, they're doing something now when there's no one else, but then the project can become bigger. So they can handle bigger managers. And if they can't be bigger than that, then you need persons at that level. You know, so in a small place, you run a temple, there's 30 people in it. But let's say in a big project, a department has 30 people in it. So it's not that you're any different. And it's just like a department head here, they're equivalent to a temple president of a maha large temple. And they're just running one department. You know, so it's just a matter of just where you fit in nicely, where you find your. But if no one else is there, don't remove him, because then you have nobody. Right? But you can try to train them, what's the attitude, how to improve, and see that their spiritual life's going nice. Okay. Does that work? Yes.
Sometimes spiritual master wants from his disciple to do something in Krishna consciousness which is not his nature.
And when you say is not his nature, that means it's not his nature, means it's something he doesn't want to do, or they don't actually have the nature to do it. Otherwise, why would they out of the blue ask you to do something? You know, unless it's to go out on Hari Nam or book distribution, then that's generally, it's not that people walk in with a resume and then, you know. Does that make sense? Because we'll say, see, is that when you say the nature means in it, it'll always be balanced. So it'll have part stuff that you like to do and stuff that you don't like to do. Okay? Let's take a Brahmin. Now, they're the head of society. Okay? Who wouldn't like that? You're the senior most person in the group.
Nice.
Great. Okay? But now, the other side of it is, you're simple, you're austere, you have knowledge, and you do not actually control things. The managers control. You know, that is, so you're the Brahmin, you tell everyone to do. No, the managers do the management. The Brahmin doesn't. If it's his field, he can give advice, but still it's up to the manager whether he takes it or not. It's not that he has to take it. If he's smart, he will, if it's good. So that's the downside. That's the part we don't like. So you have to check and see is that, oh, it's not my nature, means it might be the side of what you want to do that you don't like. You know, it's just like we like eating, we don't like, you know, washing the dishes or taking out the garbage. You know, and then we say, oh, it's against my nature. My nature is just to sit on the couch and just eat snacks and watch television. You know?
That's my nature too.
Yeah,
it's good
together. Yeah. That's why couches sit more than one person. Otherwise, it'd be a chair, right? You know, like that.
The fifth varna.
Huh?
We call it fifth varna.
Varna, yeah.
Not
the bungalow. Yeah. I think that the generally, it's called outcast. Yeah, that's the general term. But it is a group. It is a group. Yeah, they have a bit of a following. Yes, you understand. So you have to see that it's not that. You know, it's just like, you know, cooking means if you can, if you're a good cook, you can do everything in the kitchen. If all you can do is walk in and cook and walk out, and you can't clean, you can't set up, and that, you're not actually that good of a cook. You may be quite good at a few recipes, but you'll actually never be a good cook. The cook can do everything. So if nobody's there, they can cook. And if people are there, then they can do amazing stuff. Does that make sense? So everything has its downside. Does that make sense? You know, so we have to see is that it's all part of duty. That's why the Shastra says what you should do. And then we take that and follow that. Because otherwise, then you know, under authority. Because otherwise, then we'll make up what we like. I think the modern term is called cherry picking. You just take what parts you like, and that's it, and leave everything else. So we have to be very, very careful. We say it's not our nature. You have to actually, then you have to know your nature. And then if that's true, then you just explain how, you know, this is what you feel you can do and all that, and maybe when the guru explains, maybe there's something that they're saying you're not. Or maybe they thought it was like this, but they didn't realize that you're only doing that because it was an emergency, but actually you'd rather not. You're more comfortable doing something else. So if no one else is there to do it, it's needed, you do it. But if it's a matter of someone else could do it, then you do the other thing. So it's a matter of, it's actually based on knowledge. It's not just sentiment or feelings. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. Jiva Goswami. The objection may arise that at least Krishna should punish the leader causing the disaster in Vraja. The answer is this. It is said he did not see anyone equal to himself, and thus he gave up his anger. Because right? So then there's no need. So although everybody was Krishna conscious, and in the long run, you see, it wasn't immediate and it wasn't obvious, but then Indra is corrected because he saw his fault. Like that. So if you have to establish and prove and all that, means you're not, that other person is actually that, not that much difference. Right? For Krishna, the difference is so great, you just show compassion. 2.1.255. Where there is a heavy gait, steady gaze like that of a bull, and laughing words, it is called vilasa, playfulness. 2.1.256. Wow. So exact, isn't it? An example, lotus-eyed Krishna, while gazing steadily and boldly at the wrestlers, shaking the earth like an elephant, proud with victory, his words touched with the fragrance of humor, entered the raised arena while sprinkling water on the stage. Srila Prabhupada, enjoying. When a person is seen to be always happy and is accustomed to speak smilingly, he is considered to be in the mode of enjoyment. This trait was found in Krishna when he appeared at the sacrificial arena of King Kamsa. It is described that the lotus-eyed Krishna entered among the wrestlers without being impolite to them, glanced over them with determination, and seemed to them just like an elephant attacking some plants. Right? So it's not elephants and elephants. It's, you know, yeah. Even while speaking to them, Krishna was still smiling, and in this way he stood valiantly upon the wrestling dais. Right? So then we see is that it's just established. So there can be refinement and still this strength and all that. So it's vilas, it's playfulness. Has that aspect. Krishna is so powerful. And if not, they come in and they're trying to prove to each other that they're better. But that's not this. That'll be chivalry or, you know, valor or some other aspect. But this combination. You know, because you walk in a heavy gate means you're very comfortable. You know, you're very relaxed, you know, and then you can look at people so they're not something that disturbs you. And then at the same time, laughing words. You can joke about it and this and that. And Jiva Goswami. His gaze was slow, mantaram, without meekness and agitation, and thus without modesty, avinayavatim, Sometimes the phrase Vrisha Eva, like a bull, is found instead of Dvipa Eva, like an elephant. So in either way, like an elephant or like a bull, they both work. Because they both really look, they have a solid, how they move, the confidence, like that. 21257. Where there is an expression of desire through actions, it is called sweetness. 21258. While Krishna was sitting on the bank of the Jamuna, tearing there on the pretext of making a long garland of golden kadamba flowers, Radha arrived at a ghat on the river. He threw a glance from the corner of his eye at the doe-eyed Radha, on the pretext of making a garland, right? So a long garland, right? So probably the longer it took for Radharani to come, the longer the garland got. Oh, I make it a really big garland. Srila Prabhupada, pleasing. When one's characteristics are very sweet and desirable, his personality is called pleasing. An example of Krishna's pleasing nature is thus described in Srimad Bhagavatam. One day, while Krishna was awaiting the arrival of Srimati Radharani by the bank of the Jamuna, he began to make a garland of kadamba flowers. In the meantime, Srimati Radharani appeared there, and at that time, Murari, Krishna, the enemy of Mura, glanced over Radharani very sweetly. So, it has that aspect of desire, but this kind of mood is desirable. But how Krishna's acting, that the gopis appreciate. Right? So it's not that you have desire, it has to be it's appreciated. So we see is that with desire, then if you're dealing in a culture, then you know it's gentle, it's that, and you're going to express. But in general, if you're dealing with those who don't know, then you say very sweet and desirable, because that means it's already been applied, and then it's considered pleasing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So Prabhupada takes it to the practical application. Mm-hmm. The other one is there's a desire and you're showing that, expressing that desire in a pleasant way. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be seen as it's sweet, it's cute, it's like this. But the point is, it's its desirability that sweetness and cuteness is nice. That's why it becomes pleasing. Because otherwise, if you just express desire and it wasn't appreciated and all that, then it's not pleasing. Does that make sense? So you have so many of that in in grade school, the small boys throw rocks at the little girls. It's expressing desire, but it's not called pleasing. Because it's not desirable. Ponytails and inkwells and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Okay. Jiva Goswami. Avastambha means golden. Krishna was making a garland, which was already long. Pralambam, extremely long. Pravalita vilambam. Bam. With that pretext, Krishna delayed moving from the bank of the Jamuna. Another version of the verse is not too suitable. Right? So he's making a extremely long garland, right? Of a garland that's already long. What you can see is that it's the expression of desire. Like that. That's why he's waiting. 21259. Being the object of faith for the world is calling having auspiciousness. 21260. An example. Because there is no sense of injustice in the Lord, even the demons leave their doors open because they have faith that Krishna is their protector. The devatas indulge in play without worry, understanding that he is the witness and thus knows their bhakti. Those offering obeisances, devotees, have given up anxiety. O supporter of the universe, who does not have faith in your lotus feet? So we see the demons, the demigods, and the devotees, they all have faith in the Lord. Right? Srila Prabhupada, dependable. So, dependable means that it's auspicious. That's why you see is that when some will say, oh, but there's, one acharya saying this, Prabhupada saying that. No, the point, they go together. If you don't see them together, then you're not seeing. So having auspiciousness means that it's dependable, because auspicious means it's stable, it's steady, you can count on it. It'll be according to what's proper. Right? So if someone's dependable means they're doing what's proper, and you know that they'll be steady in that. So what's proper, that's auspicious. Yeah. Any person who is reliable in all circumstances is called dependable. In this connection, Rupa Goswami says that even the demons were relying upon the dependability of Krishna, because they were confident that Krishna would never attack them without due cause. Right? If they've done nothing wrong, he won't just show up. So that's what he said. They can leave the doors open. Krishna will never come and bother them. Right? But they don't necessarily trust each other, because they'll show up on Indra's doorstep without any reason to take over. But they know Krishna's not going to come to their place and do that. Right? Unless there's cause. If they've attacked, then he'll come. But if they don't attack, they just stick in their own area and don't bother anybody. You know, it's like you know, that area in the big city that the police don't go into? You know? Then as long as the people in there stay inside, they're fine. If they step outside, they're in trouble. But if they stay inside, there's no problem. You know, and if something does go wrong, even the police will come in and try to take care of it. Therefore, with faith and confidence, they used to live with their doors wide open. And the demigods, although afraid of the demons, were confident of the protection of Krishna. Therefore, even in the midst of danger, they were engaged in sportive activities. Persons who had never undergone the reformatory ritualistic ceremonies of the Vedas were confident that Krishna would accept only faith and devotion. Right? Because otherwise, if we haven't gone through all the samskaras, that how could we take up devotional service? Right? Because that's based on the principle, unless you're a nice guy, you can't be a devotee. But here his point is, the devotees have the confidence that even if you don't have that background, you can still surrender to Krishna and be a devotee, because he accepts the devotion. Faith and devotion. Right? And so they were engaged in Krishna consciousness and were freed from all anxieties. In other words, all kinds of men, from the demigods down to the uncultured, can rely on the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Jiva Goswami. Instead of the phrase Rakshi Krishna Iti, thinking Krishna is our protector, sometimes Rakshi Soyam Iti, he is our protector. Is found. The word pramatam here means inattentively. So it's understood it's Krishna, because sometimes it doesn't say Krishna. It just says he is our protector. Right? In the sentence pramatam abhita kridasu rakta sura, the devas were absorbed completely in playing inattentively. The object inattentive, which actually describes the subject, is attributed to the verb as an adverb. Inattentively. This has been done to bring about the understanding that by absorbing themselves in play, there is oneness between the subject and the verb, right? So their connection with Krishna is the example that they're playing without attention. It's not that by being inattentive while you're playing, that's your surrender to Krishna. Because they're surrendered to Krishna, then they could just absorb themselves in their activities of being demigods. And not worry about their protection. You know, it's like the child. They can just play in the house because the parent's there. The parent leaves, then they don't have that attitude. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Purnamati.